on 3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you join with us today. Looking forward to your interaction, your dialogue and discussion. We'll be talking about a prophecy update. Now, when I say prophecy update, of course, I understand to do a proper job with it and to cover all of the prophecies that we need to update and bring to the forefront as to what is happening, we take hours. I'm going to try to truncate that and give us a thumbnail sketch of a prophecy update when we focus on the Middle East, focusing on China, Russia, and what is happening in Israel, what's causing the Israeli conflict, what is causing the Hamas-Israeli war, what will happen, or as Piers Morgan asked, one of the key leaders in Israel, he said, how will this war end? How will this war end? Piers Morgan asked the one that's in charge of the military in Israel. He says, yet only today, you had dozens of family members, hostages held by Hamas, still well over 100 being held. Storming into the Furnace Finance Committee, meeting in the Knesset, shouting, you won't sit here while they're dying out there. Sure, that half of those hostages are still not being brought back. The question is asked in this article, are most of the media on the side of Hamas in this war? But Piers Morgan asked the question, how does this war end? Ladies and gentlemen, God's Word has the answer. God's Word tells us exactly how it's going to end. And we cannot predict exactly when that shall be. But we know we can look at the Scripture and understand the signs of the times. We'll be talking about that today. And shortly after our brief monologue, the telephone lines will be open. We'll invite you to call in. Join in the dialogue and discussion. What are some of your questions about the last days, the end times, what we call eschatological prophetic text? What questions do you have? Love to hear from you today with your questions in relationship to God's Word and what will happen in the last days. What's the cause? What's the reason? How will it end? Who are the players? Why are they involved in the war in the Middle East? How will the coalition of the players take place? Is there a biblical reference to what we see happening? If so, where is it? And how will that end? What does the Bible say in relationship to the prophetic text relating to the end times, the last days? Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Now, why do I emphasize that aspect each and every day on this broadcast? Because God's Word never changes. God's Word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is the same. God is sovereign. God is in control. God's already given us His Word. We know where things are going. We know how it's going to get there. Listen, as I tell people, seriously, and yet jokingly as we speak about it, I read the last chapter of the book. You know, you have a, how would you say, a detective novel, and you want to know, as the old cliche goes, who done it? You read the first chapter, and then you read the last chapter, and you got the book covered. I've read the last chapter of the book, ladies and gentlemen. I know what God's Word says and what the end shall be. And when you look at the text, Matthew 24, Mark chapter 13, Luke chapter 21. We call those the prophetic eschatological text. They summarize for our understanding what God says will happen in the last days. We're going to talk about that today. We're going to ask some questions today, and it's my prayer that you'll join in the dialogue and discussion. We'd love to hear from you, our listening audience. This whole broadcast is designed around you, our listening audience. We have the Q&A format. We set the stage. We build the intrigue, if you will, and ask the questions and invite you to join in the dialogue and discussion. And lest I forget it, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Yeah, right after our monologue, you're invited to call, ask a question, join in the dialogue and discussion. What is your opinion? What do you see? What do you base your opinion on? What do you think God is doing? What should Israel do? Should Israel surrender the land? Should Israel have a bifurcation, that is a division of Jerusalem, and have a two-state solution? We'll talk about that during the course of this broadcast. Do we find a text anyplace in the Bible that tells us who is involved in this battle? How many nations will be involved? What will happen and why? Yes, we do. We'll talk about that. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Scripture. It is the truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, in John 8, 31 and 32, makes this statement. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17, 17, the Scripture says, thy word is truth. And then in Psalms 117, verse 2, the Scripture says, Psalms 117, verse 2, makes a profound statement. The truth of the Lord endures forever. That is, ladies and gentlemen, that the truth of the Lord does not come today and is gone tomorrow. The truth of the Lord, what God's word says, is not relevant today and irrelevant tomorrow. The written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God is truth forever, and it stands. However, we go back to the secularist George Orwell. Orwell made a statement in the dystopian novel entitled 1984. He said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. So my question is, have we drifted from the truth? Yes, indeed. Have we drifted very far from the truth? Yes, indeed. This is the reason, ladies and gentlemen, the airheads on the streets waving flags for the Palestinians, the jihadists, and agreeing with the Hamas and the terrorists in Lebanon and the terrorists out of Iran, etc. The airheads that are marching, waving the Palestinian flag, they're taking a stand against Israel. And thus, they're taking a stand against the Word of God. God's Word in Genesis chapter 12, chapter 15, chapter 16, 17, etc., from about chapter 12 to about 17, God's Word says that God gave the land to Israel. God gave the land to Israel. Hear me? God did not give the land to the Islamic jihadist, but to Israel, the apple of God's eye. And yet we have those today that are trying to bifurcate truth and trying to reject truth. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that said the America's decline is linked to the death of truth. He says, in part, what we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that's precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. And yet we have the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, that according to the latest survey says 55% of the millennials believe that each person determines his or her own version of truth. How do you do that? What do you mean? My version of truth is just as valid as your version of truth. How do we say it is truth if it deviates from the facts that are true? I've said many times, perhaps you've heard me, a half truth is a whole lie. So we need to take a stand on the truth, the whole truth, and as the swearing-in oath goes in a courtroom, nothing but the truth, so help you God. We have missed the boat. We've missed the focus of the centrality of truth in America. As a result of that, we're finding a greater and greater deviation from the Word of God. And by the way, when I talk about truth, I'm not just talking about biblical, theological, doctrinal truth. That's true. But ladies and gentlemen, when it comes down to any aspect of society today, whether it be secular, social, theological, doctrinal, biblical, military, political, etc., there are things that are true. Then there are things that are nuances of truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian, church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each day. Defend the truth. Some might not like it. Some might embrace it. But yet it's our responsibility as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots, to defend the truth, stand for truth, and not try to bifurcate it to make someone happy. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. It's a great identifier, easy way to find Tools for Time. There's a 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag, flowing. I'm told that flag is about 60 or 80 feet long. It takes 8 men to get it airborne and hoisted onto the flagpole. But you find that flag flowing 24/7. The base of that flag and the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions: house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview. See what God does, placing in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me set the stage. Then we'll open our telephone lines and invite you to call in with your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. We're talking about prophecy update. That's a pretty broad subject. We could call it the Middle East War. That's still pretty broad. We could call it the signs of the last days. But nevertheless, we're simply calling it prophecy update. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in what the Bible calls the last days or the last times. You find that terminology over and over and over in the scripture, the last days or the last times. And it always, always, always points to that time, ladies and gentlemen. It is the signs of the times. It is talking about the last of the last days before Jesus comes back. Ladies and gentlemen, there's number of people that disagree with that. In fact, there's some that go along with the text that is found in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 is a very interesting text where it says this, beginning with verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Verse 5 says, and this is fascinating, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens of old and the earth standing out of the waters and in the waters, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. And he goes on to talk about what took place in relationship to the flood, and that there have been those, ladies and gentlemen, that it's speaking of here in the text, and the 2 Peter chapter 3 text, and also those today. So listen, you prophetic guys, you prophecy preachers, you've been talking about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ for centuries. He's not come yet. He's not coming back. There's the mockery, the scoffing, and the laughing. Ladies and gentlemen, the scripture says, in the last days, scoffers walking about after their own lust, saying, where's the promise of his coming? Where is the promise of his coming? Now, perhaps you fall in that category. I don't know. But I think that it behooves each of us as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots, to recognize the signs of the times and to understand what the Bible says is taking place and shall take place. Matthew chapter 24, verse 6, is the focus that I want us to look at. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So, ladies and gentlemen, when you see the text and understand that the scripture says the end is not yet, we understand that we're just looking at the signs. And these signs are pointed out because Jesus' disciples ask the question. Jesus' disciples ask these questions in Matthew 24, verse 3. Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? The three things. When will this happen? What are the signs of the coming and the end of the world? And ladies and gentlemen, I believe it behooves every Christian to ask those questions, analyze the text, and see what God's word says to us about that. We're finding, ladies and gentlemen, a major, major, major coming together of the signs of the last days. I'm interested in it. It excites me simply because we see the hand of God and God's word, God's prophetic word, leaping off the pages and the television screens of current news, things that are taking place today. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, there are multitudes today that do not recognize the signs. We have multitudes in our churches today that do not recognize the signs of the times. We have those that are scoffers that reject the signs of the times. So we're going to be talking about that today. I'm looking at a headline. Is this attack against Israel setting up Bible prophecy? That's what someone asked. That's the headline. Is the attack on Israel setting up Bible prophecy? The answer to that is absolutely unequivocally yes. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning, good morning.
Okay, and I appreciate you. I've never read the book of Amos, but I listened to you on my way home. And I said, I got to start getting to that book. But yes, I think we're in the end times, like the Lord said, it's going to be like birth pains.
Mm-hmm.
And this is happening right now in the world. That is really what's happening. It's just, well, we've gone off the scale, especially America. America, we are off the scale. And what kind of, I hate to say it like this, but what pissed me off, that Biden was trying to make Texas take down the wire. But Texas has the right in the Constitution, I believe, right, that if the government cannot protect them, they have to protect themselves, right?
Well, one of the things you see taking place, even with that, with our hordes of illegal invaders coming in, that's setting the stage for the demise of America. That's setting the stage for what I would still call the end time prophetic text. We're watching an administration today that has no control over what is taking place at the border, it seems, but at the same time, it is purposefully done to destroy the sovereignty of America. So we're watching what I believe is twofold. We're watching ineptness in the White House. We're watching a purposeful destruction of American sovereignty, and it's being done And my opinion, based on the Word of God, it's being done to allow God to bring His judgment against America for our turning our backs on Jesus Christ. But Kenneth, I want to ask you a question. Do you see the war in Israel, they're calling it the Middle East War now, do you see that as being a greater or lesser emphasis on end-time prophecy?
I see it as greater, because it's like the whole world, if we fall, and we are the greatest allies supposed to have been before Crazy Joe got in, if we fall, because the Bible tells us the whole world, it did not exclude the United States, said the whole world will be going against Israel. And then that's when Yahshua, HaMashiach, will come back and say, that's the apple of God's eye.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Kenneth, you're exactly right. In fact, if I can summarize our thoughts in that particular area, the Bible says that when these wars and rumors of wars take place, the end is not yet. It is simply a sign pointing to a future tense of what will take place. I've used the term, it's just like on icy, black ice winter nights. You'll see a curve in the road, a sign that says curve. Then you'll see another sign that says ice on bridge. That bridge is not right there, but it's right there in the distant near future, and it's a warning to prevent you from getting on the slippery black ice on that bridge and having catastrophe as a wreck. We're watching the signs, and these things are coming together, and it is a convulsion that is happening on a global basis, and it's setting the stage for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, the interim between now and the coming will be that rapture of the church. There are no signs for the rapture of the church, but immediately following the rapture of the church, will enter into the 7 years of tribulation with the Antichrist in the dictatorial rulership position. But yet the scripture says, but the end is not yet. So the thing that I see, Kenneth, that I'm wanting our listeners to understand, these signs should cause us to be warned of what is ahead, and therefore we warn others that others might come to know Jesus Christ before it is too late. That is my warning. That's my message. And that's the reason I believe God gives us a prophetic text in the scripture to let us know what's ahead so that we can be prepared, so that we can be ready, and that we can get others ready for that sudden seizure, the rapture of the church, and the return of Christ. Kenneth, brother, thank you so much for your call.
Can I ask you one more question?
Go right ahead, yes.
God is giving us another reprieve because Donald Trump is running away. Is God giving us another reprieve so we could change our minds?
I believe he's doing that. I believe he's doing that. And it is my prayer that God will divinely intervene. Just God's divine intervention in 2016 put Donald J. Trump in the office for the 45th president. And it's my prayer that he will once again intervene and give us Donald J. Trump. Now, I've had preachers and Christians say, well, you know, Trump has a vile mouth. Trump does this. Trump. I don't care. We're not electing Jesus. We're not electing Jesus. We're electing a president that's got a spine, a backbone, a tenacity, a knowledge and ability to clean house. And we need the swamps, the sewer cleaned in Washington, D.C. My only fear is, Kenneth, and I'll say this and then let you go. My only fear is they've tried the prosecution. They have tried the Russiagate. They have tried the impeachment twice. And here is the fast track. I believe the preliminary is over. I believe that it will be Donald Trump that will be the candidate. And so the primary needs to be over and go ahead with the fight, the battle, whatever you call it, against whoever's going to be on the ballot in November, of whom, by the way, I don't believe it'll be Joe Biden. I believe at the last minute the Democrats are going to pull a slick one and put someone in his place. I don't believe Joe Biden will be on the really on the ballot for November. But whatever's on the ballot, I believe that we need to all as Christians pray, as conservatives pray, and ask God to divinely intervene. Otherwise, what we have known as America, our Constitutional Republic, for almost 250 years, I believe we can kiss it goodbye unless Donald Trump goes in. That's my opinion. That's my position. Some can agree or disagree. That's fine. But, Kenneth, thank you for your call. God bless you. Have a wonderful day and keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're talking about prophecy update. When we read in the Bible the words last days, last times, we know that these are references to the final days before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The 24th chapter of Matthew verse, and in Mark chapter 13 and Luke chapter 21, the Bible gives us multitudes of signs that we're living in the last days, the last time, the end of the age, if you will. In fact, in Matthew 24:3, the scripture says, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of the coming and the end of the world? So the disciples asked Jesus that question. And I believe those are pertinent questions that Christians need to ask and understand even today. Multitudes have the philosophy and the feeling that we ought not to be worried about the signs. And I've said, stop looking for signs and listening for sounds, because the next sound will be the trumpet sound when Jesus Christ appears in the clouds and calls us out, called the rapture of the church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. Let me give you that again in case you're not aware of it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. And notwithstanding what some denominations may say, and notwithstanding what some theologians may say, the rapture of the church is real. It is the word rapturus. It's the Latin term for sudden seizure, to be snatched away. The word rapture is not in the scripture, but the word rapturus, sudden seizure, the snatching away, is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. We need to understand the scripture. We need to be warned that it's on the fast track. We need to recognize that we're in the last of the last days. Ladies and gentlemen, there's one sign of the last days that's found in Matthew 24:6, wars and rumors of wars. And I believe we're witnessing today, and I'm persuaded, the beginning of, you've heard me say it before, at the risk of redundancy, to say it again, I believe we're witnessing the beginnings, the origins, the initial stages of World War III. And now I've heard many, many, many anchors on the television networks that have used that term in recent months. Are we in World War III? Are we headed for World War III? Will we enter into a third world war? And my answer to the critics, my answer to the naysayers, my answer to those that have the question is yes, yes, yes. We, since the Russian invasion in Ukraine, I've said that we're witnessing the beginning stages of the chessmen being put in place for World War III. Listen, China, North Korea, Russia, what's happening in Ukraine, Iran, Turkey, all that's happening in the fire that's spreading like wildfire in the Middle East. All of that comes under the guise and the auspices of the eschatological prophetic text in the scripture. It's all told to us. It's all given to us. We have the four warnings. We have the warning signs already set up. The key to it is, are we listening? Are we watching? Are we prepared? Are we telling others about it? That's the whole purpose of the eschatological prophetic update. It's so that we'll know where we're going, know what the Word of God says is taking place, and be prepared to be ready. And may I say to you, it's time for we as Christians to start recognizing the signs of the last days. Just as Jesus' disciples asked him, show us the signs, tell us what it will be. What will the end time be like? When will these things be? And what shall be the signs thereof? Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. We'll be right back right after the news. Don't turn your dials as we continue to face the issues today. We invite you to join us. Call others to join us.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida.